We're so glad that you could be here with us this morning and trust that the Lord will bless your life with some truth from His Word. And as we sing songs together, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, communicating or teaching God's Word to one another, that is the filling of God's Spirit and His people and His church body. And as well as we sing songs and psalms to the Lord and direct our thoughts, our attention, and our worship. In Hebrews it says, may the sacrifice of the praise of our lips, with thanksgiving in our hearts, pleasing to the Lord that we worship. So thank you for that time and for our remembrance of our missionaries, those that remember that the Lord called us to be about the spreading of the gospel, that the Great Commission was not just for the disciples in their day, but for us all. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And particular verses this morning that we want to deal with are 22 through 24. And so let's read those together. I'll read them out loud, and you follow along in the scripture there. And be sure and open your bulletins there, and there's some notes that you might want to take a few notes this morning, because this is an important message. It's one that will conflict with our culture and our society, and so it's one that we need to make sure that we're hearing what God's Word has to say on this matter. Verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5, wives, be submissive, or be in subjection, or be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their own husbands in everything. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And let me just remind you, in our passage here, that we've walked through a long process through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 there, where we've looked at these different truths. But this last particular section, beginning in verse 16, speaks of, actually in verse 15, it speaks of walking wisely, that we're not to walk as unwise, but to walk as wise, redeeming the time. Now, there's basically two major thoughts under this major idea, or this major section. We're to walk wisely. Number one, you ought to put this in your notes. If you can't think through this at this point, write it down, because this will help you in understanding what the Apostle Paul is teaching to believers. Number one, we're to walk wisely, redeeming the time, or the main point. Number one is that we're to do that understanding what the Lord's will is. In other words, understanding the Word of God, what God has given to us. And that's in verse 17 there. In verse 18, it says that we're not to be drunk with wine or to be controlled by other things, but basically the idea is there that we're to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Okay, so if we're going to walk wisely according to the teaching of the Apostle Paul, two points: understanding the Lord's will, knowing what His Word is for your life, and secondly, being filled with God's Spirit. Now, at verse 18, there's four points, and just mark these down, remember them, because Paul gives four means of grace here for his people, or for the people in this church at Ephesians, to experience what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. What was the first one? The first one was communicate to one another, or speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, communicate biblical truth through music. Okay, if we were to shorten it, that's the first thing. If we're going to experience the filling of God's Spirit in congregational worship at Grace Bible Church, communicate to one another with music. Number two, singing to the Lord. Okay, so there's a direction that we should have on a Sunday morning time or a time when God's people get together, and that is to direct our singing to the Lord. We're to sing to the Lord. Thirdly, there's a third point there. It says, give thanks always for all things. This is a good place. I should have told you to write this on the back of your page there, but it's kind of an overview. You have the back of your page of your outline. This outline is here for to help you out there. But giving thanks always for all things to the Lord. And then fourthly, to submit to one another, okay, in the fear of Christ. Okay, this is a section that we're in this morning. Now, submitting to one another simply means, it doesn't mean that it means that there are lines divinely established human authority that God has given and established for our benefit. Okay? So we're to submit to God-given authority. And these three or four means of grace are ways in which we experience what it means to be filled with the Spirit. What's the thing with being spirit filled with the Spirit is that it's a passive verb, isn't it? So, you know, how do you be filled with the Spirit? Because it's something that happens to you since it's passive. Well, the experience and the means of God's grace is that we, in the communicating to one another with music, biblical truth, in the communicating and singing to God, in the giving of thanks for all things because God is sovereign and because God has purposes and all things work together for good to those that love God and are called to His according to His purposes. Therefore, we give Him thanks for all things. And when we do that, there's a filling of God's Spirit. And it's something that happens by grace through faith in His people. You say, well, if I try real hard, I'm going to be filled with God's Spirit. Well, no, you're not. You can't be filled with God's Spirit by trying hard. It's by grace through faith. Because God in Jesus Christ has made that provision and He commands us to be filled with His Spirit. Therefore, we can lay hold of His promise and say, God, You have said I need to be filled with Your Spirit. So even though I feel terrible today, I want to express joy to You in this song that I'm singing to You. I want to encourage my brother and sister to carry on with faith through the singing of these songs today. And we want to give You thanks for the wonderful provisions of grace that You have granted. So this is the background to which we have looked at and began to look at in verse 22, the imperative command in Scripture that wives are to be subject or be submissive. And actually, because it's a middle verb there, it actually says, wives, submit yourselves to, and it says there's a particular adjective there, to your own husbands, or pronoun, adjectival pronoun. To your own husbands, you're to submit yourselves. Okay, that's the imperative command in Scripture. And then we looked at last time that you're to commit yourselves as to the Lord. So in your notes there and in your outline, the Scripture teaches us, and it's stated here in this verse, didn't make it up. I don't care if culturally speaking our country doesn't like, and I don't care about the thinking of people culturally with the feminist movement or all the things that are going on. The Scripture, the Apostle Paul taught this. And this is what we as God's people need to understand. We need to understand it clearly from a biblical perspective. And that biblical perspective states that wives are to submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's huge, isn't it? As to the Lord. Now, here's two things that we said about that, and you can write that down in your notes as to last week, because we addressed how do wives do this, and the two major points that you need to carry home with you are that you're to submit yourselves to your own husbands in the same way that you submit yourselves to the Lord. That's number one. But secondly, there's also another aspect in it, in that you submit yourselves as to your husbands, or when you do that, you're submitting yourselves to the Lord. Okay? So why do I do it? Because God tells me to. Does the husband deserve it? Nope. Usually not. But the scripture says, as to the Lord. And so you do it as to the Lord. You submit yourself as to the Lord in obedience to Him. In obedience, because that's the established lines that God put together in the family. Now, to recognize God's sovereignty in the established lines of human authority is to recognize God and His authority in your life. Hey, I just don't know how I can express to this church body, to our people, and I know that many of you have already understand this principle and have embraced this truth, but this is one of the major areas of conflict in our culture today and in the world. And you know why? Because when you go back to Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden, there was rebellion against God. And when that rebellion against God took place, there was a broken relationship, broken lines of authority, broken roles that God had established that never have fixed themselves. And when you're preaching a message like this in general to the general public, there's normally hair that stands up on the back of some person's necks, because this is contrary culturally to the mindset. You know, when the scripture says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," there is an essential nature in which when the scripture makes a statement or teaches us something, that we yield to it or submit to that truth. And so to recognize God's sovereignty in the established lines of human authority that He's placed over us is to throw off the rebellion that began with Adam. That's the bottom line. And the reason that people are angry is because God says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of that sin is death. And there's a natural repulsion toward obedience to God's word and toward the recognized lines of authority that God has established. And it's very, very evident in our culture today. And if we want to have good, strong homes and families, and if we want to demonstrate the grace of Christ and the good things that He has intended for the family, then we need to go back to the principles in God's Word and trust in those principles. Trust that God knows what He's doing, because He created the man and the woman, He created the family, and He knows the rules that are going to work there. And we can try to say, "Well, I'm going to do it this way," but every time we're going to fail. It is essential that we learn what the Scripture says and that we put our trust in Scripture. Now, I want to say this to each one of you. In fact, before we leave this first point, as to the Lord, how do wives submit? Well, they submit in the same way that you submit to the Lord. Well, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty cross-cultural. I mean, that's pretty counter-cultural. You want to be a rebel? Well, a great way to be a rebel is to say, I'm gonna take God's word and rub it in the face of the world. I'm gonna take what He says to do and rebel against the course, the conformity of this world, this age. That's the way to do it. You be a rebel. But be a rebel by hanging on and countering what the culture is trying to conform you into the image of. But here's something that I want to say to the ladies in regard to this submitting as to the Lord, because this is really risky business, isn't it? That's why, basically, young ladies, when you go to look for a husband, you're going to not just want to look for someone that on a kind of peripheral way acknowledges that they might be a Christian, right? Because this is pretty serious business. You want to be able to, first of all, you entrust yourself to the Lord. But one of the things that you clearly want to see is that this individual is seeking after Jesus Christ. He is seeking after the Lord. He's not just saying, I'm a Christian, but there's visible evidence that he is in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he's not, then it's going to wreak havoc in your relationship. And you can try to cheat the principles of God's Word, but it doesn't work. I can tell you that you must, if you want to have a successful marriage and you want to have a good, clean, free relationship and the intimacy that God intends in a marriage, then you're going to have to find a man that does the teaching and training that's given in the verses which follow this, where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Because he's the demonstration. And someone that's a menial Christian, that's kind of like part-time walking with the Lord or showing up on Sunday, but that doesn't mean business, it's going to be impossible. And it's impossible anyway for God's people to fulfill this standard that Christ has given to us in regard to marriage and the relationship of the husband and wife. It's done by the filling of his Spirit, by the grace of God at work within his people. The Holy Spirit enables us and quickens us. He fills us. And without that, we fail on the woman's part and on the man's part. Now go and turn your Bibles and write down this passage, because you'll want to look at it really good. And it's something I'm going to give to you, ladies, that will be a blessing and a help to you, and not only to the ladies, but also to the men. And actually, in fact, this is addressing men and praying for the authority that is over them. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's just a few pages back from Ephesians, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it talks about authority here to the church. It says in verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. Okay, for kings and all, this all is what I'm measuring on, because this is a principle, I think, for ladies and for men, for all of us, of what it means in this passage where it says to submit yourself unto submit yourselves to one another as to in the fear of Christ. If I can remember my verse there, but it says for all kings and all who are in authority over you, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Okay, so there's a direct connection, according to the Apostle Paul, in which we as God's people pray for those who are in authority over us in order that we might have peace. Okay, so this is huge because, ladies, in context of our passage here, there's going to be conflict when you are in submission to your husbands at times. There's going to be issues that come up where resolving that is going to be a problem. God knew those things. That's why he established the family the way that he established the family. That's why he initiated and put in place roles so that those problems can be resolved in an orderly and mannerly way, and there can be peace. Now, I want to say this, and this is my interpretation. This is my thinking in regard to this passage of Scripture. God gives special power. Listen to this, special power to those who are in submission to certain authorities when they pray. Okay? It's a special gift, Alicia. She's going to get married here soon. It's a special gift to you that God has given that, you know, because Todd, I mean, he's a great guy, but he's going to mess up sometimes, you know. But you're forming in a relationship where as husband and wife, there's a certain role that he will fill, and he's not always going to be right. But there are going to be times when it is necessary for the unity and the function of the home for you to submit to him. And so the power of prayer is a huge thing. And I can tell you, Todd, and husbands here, that if you are so foolish that you do not listen to the helpmeet and the partner that God gives to you, If you try to bully and use authority, we'll get on that next time with the men. But there's a very clear statement, a completely different divine biblical view about how men are supposed to have relationship and behave with their wife and what true biblical authority really is. And it's essential for us. We need to understand it. We need to be correct in the way that we walk before the Lord in regard to these things. But notice this. This power of prayer is a powerful thing. Because do you know what it says? It says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who desires for all men. This is verse 4 at 1 Timothy 2. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I believe that with the truth of authority and the relationship of submission under that authority, that there's a power. And this scripture indicates that there's a direct relationship to the promotion of the gospel, the power of the truth of God coming through people as they submit to the authority that God has placed over them. But look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Get what it's saying here. It's saying that you, ladies, as God's children, have a direct relationship to God the Father. Notice that verse there. That is a huge verse. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So what is that saying? It's saying that your prayer goes to Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ to God the Father. Isn't that awesome? So that authority that it's over you is nothing. Absolutely nothing. When you're on your knees before God and you're seeking God's will and in submission to God, you're saying, Heavenly Father, help us. And in dependence upon Him, you're making appeal to the mediator, Jesus Christ, who is appealing to the Heavenly Father that rules in heaven. There's power there. And so in light of this passage, we as God's people ought to be praying for our president, those that are in authority over, shouldn't we? Because God has given to us a mediator, Jesus Christ, who speaks to the Heavenly Father through us. The Holy Spirit that He sent communicates through our prayers to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ speaks to the Heavenly Father, the one that rules on the heavens, upon the throne, and the earth is His footstool, and no one can ward off His hand and say, God, what are you doing? Because He does exactly as He pleases. With God, all things are possible. So, Alicia, that's going to be powerful for you to learn rather than say, no, I'm going to do it my way, to say, no, I'm going to appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father in heaven. That ought to scare you, Todd. Okay? Wives, there's a wonderful principle there for you, a benefit for God's people to go to the one mediator. And it says in verse 6, for He gave Himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. And for this I was appointed as a preacher and apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now look at verse 8. Therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Okay, pray. God's people, pray. When authority over us bugs us, it should drive us to our knees. We should go and make appeal to the mediator that stands before the Father in heaven, who is able to do all things. And I think there's a special way. Write this down, ladies. The power of prayer over those authorities, those human authorities that God has placed over you, is a mighty and powerful thing. It is something that God has given to you in a special way when you're under authority. And it's meaningful. That Christ is our mediator. Okay, in our passage this morning, there are basically two things that are stated in this passage, and I put it in your notes there, that wives are to submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, and it says, so to your husbands also, and then it qualifies it, in everything. Now, that's pretty huge. in everything. That makes it rough at times because everybody knows, men know it too, but the wives certainly know it, that we're often a mess and often not too wise in some of the decisions that we make. Nonetheless, God doesn't qualify it there. So that's the basic idea of our passage. And it says, going back to our verse there in 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so it's in the same way, and you submit your husband as you're submitting to the Lord. Verse 23, it says, because, it gives us the reason there. Why do wives submit? That's the second part of number one there in your outline. And it says, why? Because the husband is the head of the wife. Okay? Now the head, that's an interesting term. But we understand the meaning of this because it says, it teaches us this word in Ephesians, actually in the book of Ephesians. We turn over to chapter 1 and verse 22. It says that he put all things into subjection under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, who is the body and the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we have this picture of Jesus Christ being the head, and that means the ruler or authority. So role-wise, that means that Jesus is the authority. And what he's saying here, in the same way, in the establishment of the home, in the family, that God made the man to be head of the wife and of the family. And so we're talking in this sense and meaning of the word, and prominence or preeminence. Now, I once had a conversation with someone about this, and they were having a hard time. They thought we were complete Looney Tunes. We were off the turnips off the truck there because we were teaching this principle of submission or roles in the home. And he was a particular individual that worked for a large company, and an international company, and he went down to South America frequently, and he would go onto a site and he would order these men to do certain things on that oil field site, and because that was his role. And I tried to explain to him that in the same way that he was given the role as being in charge over those men, it doesn't have to do with equality. It's no issue in equality. They were equal to him. Yet he had a different role. And this is exactly what God has set forth in the home. He has given a role, not so much as ruler and authority as it's described in Scripture, but exactly that. In relationship to the husband and wife relationship, there is a place where the husband at times will have to say, I know that you're in disagreement with me here. But I believe before the Lord God that he's leading us this direction. And so at that point in time, the woman is to submit to the husband as head of the family. And there's going to be times where there's disagreement, where it may not see eye to eye on certain things. But the Scripture says the lady can go to the Lord in prayer, bear it before the Lord, but she needs to submit, and that is for the unity and function of the home. Now notice what else it says here in the verse. It says, so also Christ is head of the church. So we got this comparison. And that's what I went to back to in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. It says that Christ is the head of the church. He fills all in all, and that he as the head was giving the leading and direction and guidance, the spiritual guidance. Now, next week, men, I'm going to get on you, but it is your responsibility as head of the family to care for the spiritual benefit of your wife. And you know what? You may feel that, well, I don't really do that too well, and I don't lead my family in prayer, and I don't do too much as far as teaching the Scripture and nurturing my family. But I'm telling you that God holds you responsible Because as Christ is head of the church, you are responsible for the spiritual health and benefit of your family, and in particular of your wife. And you can neglect that responsibility, but you'll be sorry from the eternal perspective if you do, and most likely from the temporal perspective as well. Notice that it says here in this verse, for he is the Savior of the body. And so the second thing, that point that I want to make, is that sometimes head has to do with source. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Okay? So here, there's a sense in which the term head means not only ruler or having preeminence or having the place of authority, but it also means source. Okay? So when we look at Christ here, he is, as the head, he is the source of the body. Look at verse 16 there in chapter 4, where it says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Do you see the point of this? That Christ, as our head, operates through his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit distributes to each person in the church body spiritual gifts, in which the function of that spiritual gift operates the body of Christ, in the spiritual sense, the body of Christ. But what we're talking about is function and unity. Okay? Get it? Function and unity. God has designed for the home, ladies, to be a microcosm of the reality of this truth, that Christ is the head and the body of the church in submission works in unity for the purposes of God. And as husbands are loving their wives as Christ loved the church, with their focus upon the will of God and the purposes of God, and they're moving in God's direction and God's purpose that he has created them for and drawn them together as husband and wife, made them one, then there's a functionality and a unity that should take place in pursuit of the eternal glory of Jesus Christ, of his kingdom. That's God's purpose. And the picture of marriage is the greatest picture. In fact, the whole, the main point of this whole book comes to head here next week when we get into the men loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And we're going to look at it next week in more detail. But here's the point, is that as a source, the function and proper function is necessary for these things to take place. Idea of the man being the head, or Christ being the head of the church, is that they're the director, the focus. Eternal and spiritual is to be given through the man. And so men, I'm going to get on you already this week. It is necessary, it's needful for you to be on your knees, acknowledging that only through the filling of God's Spirit, only through the power of Jesus Christ within me, can I keep independence upon the eternal path that God has set before me. Order my steps in your word, O Lord. Make my feet like the hinds feet. Men, it ought to drive you to the reality that there's a huge responsibility there, a huge responsibility to be a spiritual leader. So the direction and focus, the eternal and spiritual drive and focus should come from the head and should filter through the family. And the function and the unity should be a microcosm of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of the church and how it functions. Okay? Also, here's a key concept, that the man as the head is the provider. Just as Christ is the provider, the source, not just the one that makes the decisions, but the provider. And he's also the protector. Notice it says, for he is the Savior of the body. So the principle is that he's the protector of his family, not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. You're caring for your family. You're looking out for them. And you're doing those things which are necessary. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Because the man is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, so he is the savior of the body, the protector. The key concept here is unity. I'll never forget, fresh out of college, first day on my first job, junior high band director. I took my baton and, man, it was just chaos. It was awful. There were 80 junior high kids out there, and they were all on who knows what note. And, man, I was sitting there. That was the first day, and I stepped up there, and it was just chaos. I mean, there was no unity, complete havoc. But it's a great picture, you see, because it's necessary for each individual to play the right note. And to know where that note is, and there's a unity and harmony that takes place in a band, and there's a unity and harmony that takes place in Christ in the church when His gifts are operating through His people, and we're functioning filled with His Spirit and living together in this type of way. It's a demonstration of the kingdom of God, and the family is a microcosm of that, and it's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing when a family is functioning according to these principles. It's just something that's worth the battle. It's worth the fight. It's worth determining that I'm gonna latch on to these truths, these principles in God's Word. Okay? So let's go on in verse 24 then. Why do wives submit to their husbands? We'll go to, they submit as to Christ, so also to their husbands. And it gives us the extent here in everything. It is in everything that the wife is to submit to the husband. And that's a huge blanket statement, isn't it? That's hard when you start thinking about the details of that. Okay, in everything, but I'm so much better than him in this area. You know, I mean, this guy seems to be a complete doofus in regard to this particular area. And this verse says in everything, I don't understand that. Doesn't make sense to me. But the scripture says in light of authority and function and unity of the family that the wife is to submit to her husband in everything. So let's think about what that means. To the extent in everything, don't pick and choose what things you will submit to. This is a huge thing, but you need to write this down in your mind that it's easy to kind of pick and choose what you think you're going to do and what you want to do, because that's our nature. If you're fallen in sin in Jesus Christ if you're part of humanity, there is an innate nature within us in our fall into sin that we want to do our own thing. We don't want to submit, not to husbands, not to any authority over us. We want to do our own thing. It's just the nature. And especially when it comes to an area I'm better at this, then it's difficult. But to do that is a powerful thing. And if your husband is wise, and if he loves his wife as Christ loves the church, then in the delegation of responsibilities and those things in his humility and submission to the Lord, then those things work out. And he begins to realize, hey, she's a lot better than me in this. And it works. It functions right. God is wise in this. But it's a powerful thing when you submit in everything. Secondly, it's not qualified by his performance or record. His Christ-like love on both counts for the man and the woman. What happens when I counsel people in the office in regard to marriage or relationships is there's always an immediate focus on the other person. Okay? And so what's going to be the tendency, wives, is that you're going to look at the husband and you're going to say, he doesn't love me like Christ loves the church. He doesn't come anywhere close. But the thing is that this command in Scripture does not give you room, and it is not determined by how well he does. Same thing with the men, wives. It's your love for your wife is not going to be determined on the basis and how well she submits to you and follows these principles. Both of these, in both instances, submission is a free act of the will. And that's kind of like another point under to what extent. Submission is a free act of the will. It's a response of trust ultimately in God. It's saying, God, I know that you know what you're talking about. I know that you understand families. I know that you understand homes. I know that you understand relationships. And I'm going to submit to you willingly. And that's what Jesus Christ, you know, that's the difference between Islam and Christianity. Christianity is that the appeal in Scripture is it's asking that you will willingly submit yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. And there's a beauty in it. As we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and we begin to look like Him and act like Him and treat one another like He treated us, then we, in a sense, husbands and wives, families, they begin to be a visible picture of the kingdom of God, of what it's going to look like one day when Christ returns, the millennial kingdom, sets up His kingdom. We'll see a visible demonstration of the way God intends things to be. But it's contingent upon trusting in these principles. So just by way of illustration, ladies, here's your teen or tween daughter, and she's coming to you, and she's saying, she's asking to go to the mall. And she's asking to go to the mall after dad has already said no. She's already talked to him. There's a decision there. There is there's a decision on your part as to whether you undermine that authority or whether you stand with it. And I'm telling you that if you give in here, if there's lack of unity, then it'll cause problems. And it'll cause problems in your home and your family in many ways. God knows what He's doing, and it's necessary for wives to submit in everything to their husbands. Okay, let me close with just, and I gave you some of these closing applications last time. I'm going to go over those again that you might write them down because it was in a hurry. But number one, ladies, if you are going to submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, so to your husbands as in everything. You ought to have this memorized. I'm going to submit to my husband as to the Lord, so also to him in everything. Now, that's not my saying. I'm not saying that. The Scripture says that. No? So you ought to memorize it. That's because that's basically the command that God gives to you in Scripture. Number one, in light of that, decide if it is not a sin against God. Remember, it's qualified, but it doesn't mean that your husband can command you or any authority over you should command you to sin against God. God is the ultimate authority always. But it means to decide that I will always submit and obey in everything. That's a pretty wild statement. But when you're filled with the Spirit and God gives you the power and enables you, by the filling of His Spirit and by the strength of His Spirit, by grace through faith, you will be able to do what God commands you to do. Number two, dad or other family members never trump your husband's authority in the Christian home. The Christian home is different. In Rome, they actually had the father that could file for divorce for his daughter. So Paul, in many ways, was saying very countercultural type things, just as much as we are today this morning, teaching these principles directly out of God's Word. It was countercultural in Paul's day because these fathers had complete control to determine certain things about marriages in Rome, in the Roman family. Number three, do not undermine your husband's authority in the home by siding with, and listen to this, a manipulative or rebellious child. Can't tell you how important this is. You stand by your man. You know, stand with him. And it will benefit your child. If you allow your child to manipulate you, and if you allow their old sin nature and their rebellion to determine the direction of the and the course of your family, then you're in danger. And so it's important to stand united in a united front with your family. Number four, pray instead of resist or rebel. Those are some practical things that you can put together in your relationship and walk with the Lord. Now, in closing, I just want to say this, and close with one thing. At the bottom of this page, I put something down there for the ladies. You're going to need to get your notes there because you're going to want to fill this in. And I put it in for Lori. It says, Lori, be submissive to Jim as to the Lord, so also to Jim in everything. Just personalize it. Okay, and it sounds even worse then, doesn't it? Wow, that's radical stuff. Okay, and even when I was thinking about it and looking at the passage and writing it in, all I'm doing is replacing names, husbands and wives, with personal names there. But it's what the Scripture says. And so I'm not afraid to teach it. Even though this is countercultural, even though the feminists of the day would pull my hair out, the realities are that this is what the Scripture says. And this is a good reminder for you. Put your personal names in there and commit yourself to the teaching of God's Word. Now, there's some wonderful truth here in closing about the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this as we close. Next week, we'll talk about the husbands loving their wives. And we're going to see a kind of a definition. He never brings up to the husbands, he never tells them, you know, this, you're head, and therefore take charge and be the head of the home and do these things. What he does is he describes what it was for Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. He gave him, loved the church and gave himself for her. And the demonstration is completely and totally countercultural to the Greek and Roman mindset and to our mindset today. And so we're going to see some really exciting and neat things in Scripture next time as we look at the man's role toward the wife and what it means to love your wives as Christ loves the church. It's a huge thing, guys. Even, I think, even more huge than what the ladies have to submit to us, which is huge in itself. But God is able. He quickens us and enables us to do what is necessary. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, the gospel is preached for us here. There's a trust in you, a trust in your principles, and a realization that Christ loved us and gave himself completely and totally for our benefit because he cared. And in the same way, the husband is to have that microcosm of the expression of that kind of loving, sacrificial care for his wife. And in so doing, we demonstrate the realities of the gospel in that very thing. And it's the most powerful demonstration that we can give, more powerful than the words that we speak in sharing the gospel. But in demonstrating the realities of it in our lives, Lord, it's needful for us. Please help us as your people. Now, we bow our knees to you and acknowledge that we must be filled with your Spirit in order for our wives to submit to their husbands. We must be filled with your Spirit in order for our husbands to love their wives as you have loved the church. But you are able to do what you commanded us to do. So by grace through faith, we trust that you will enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.